Today on The Grave Talks, Universal Lightworker, a conversation with Kayla Ray. Kayla Ray is known as a universal light worker, bringing the energies and power from many worlds to heal, guide, and help those that she meets. Since a young age, she's refined her powerful gifts to bring healing, cleansing, insight, and psychic mediumship for the purpose of helping and leading those in search of their spiritual and life paths. Today, we learn about her abilities and her experiences on The Grave Talks.
Literally, when my mom was pregnant with me, she was actually told, we lived next door to a Native American lady, and my mom had lost a baby just right before me, and the lady had told her that it was going to be okay because the next one was going to be very different. And that was me. And she used to tell my mom almost every day that I was here to heal the people and I would see the world very differently. So here I am. I was the weird child growing up and just did see things very differently, was very okay with death and saw a lot of death before it happened and talked to a lot of quote imaginary friends like most kids do. Mm-hmm. So I can't say so much that it was a spark. It was literally just how I came out.
Now, let me ask you this. Was this something that your mom talked to you a lot about while you were young? Did she share that story of the woman that had these predictions for your life at an early age, or did she just kind of, you know, just kind of see what you gravitated towards?
So my mom comes from a Catholic family. Mm-hmm. And the other side of the family is German. So I'm kind of the oddball out there. Mm-hmm. My mom's family is also part Native, but they weren't really, you know, open to all this. They were more raised Catholic.
Sure.
They never put me down. My parents never really put me down for, you know, seeing these things, knowing things. There's times I undeniably knew things that a child couldn't or shouldn't be able to know. So they just kind of went along with it and just accepted me as, you know, the special child. Mm-hmm. Drew a lot of things because I didn't know how to explain them. So I used to draw a ton, and it was never the cute little girly stuff of like flowers and unicorns and rainbows. It was like planets exploding and like demon looking things, aliens, just, you know, regular weird kid stuff, I guess, basically.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. Were these things that you just found interesting, or were these images that were in your mind? Like, what? Obviously, it's kind of hard to look back and when your childhood and go, "Why did I draw that?" But why did you draw that?
It's actually pretty easy for me to look back at that. It all seems so real, and now it makes more sense. I mean, Phyllis was the lady that lived next door to us, the Native American lady, mm-hmm. And so she died when I was around 3 years old, I believe. 3-4 years old. So she would talk to me, and we would have these really in-depth conversations, even though I was a child. And even after she passed, my parents would be like, "What were you doing out back? Or who were you playing with?" And I'd be like, "Oh, you know, just talking to Phyllis. And Phyllis was telling me this about the raspberries. And Phyllis was telling me this about this." And it was just like, to me, when I was a child, I used to see dead people just like living. So I had a really hard time with, they weren't just, like, I saw them just like I would see you standing in front of me.
Yeah.
Well, if you were standing in front of me right now.
Sure.
Not across the country. So as I got older, possibly another part of the story later on, but I started developing medical issues at a young age. And as I got older, we started realizing that that's part of being, you know, empathic, but we didn't know that as a child, how many things were tied to other people, other situations, land, buildings, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really was just always normal, and I didn't understand why other people didn't see it, hear it, feel it, experience it that way.
Very interesting. So when you were young and you were seeing dead people, did you realize at the time that they were dead people?
Yes and no. Like, I knew they were different. They would feel different. They would just disappear, right? I could be talking to them. I could be seeing with them. I could be playing with the little girl that's in my parents' basement. Those kind of things. I knew my mom's other baby. Like, I used to tell her about my baby brother.
Really?
That he was also part of me. So, you know, the baby that she had been pregnant with before me that she lost.
Yeah.
So just, I just knew they were different than my other friends or my other family because they could be here 1 second and gone and then nobody else would see them. So, but again, I didn't know that it was different because it was my normal.
Sure. As is so much when you're a child, you're learning, you know, what your surroundings right. are, how do things work. And if right. people are disappearing, oh, it must be how it works.
Right. Like I would freak out about the like parades. Most kids love parades. I used to see people, and I used to tell my parents, I would see people or certain things that would have like, you know, what we could consider like dark entities or just weird things going on with them. And I would start freaking out and hyperventilating because it's just, you know, everybody else saw this, you know, fun character dressed up or would see these people in a marching band. And here I am freaking out because there's people marching by. And it wasn't the people. It was, oh, I see that guy over there. And he looks like he has horns and a tail and, you know, snake eyes. Like, I don't want to be near that. And he'd freak me out as a kid. So it was really hard to explain those things or why I didn't want to go places.
How did your parents react with something like that, where it's exactly what you just said, like the horns, tail, snake eyes? Like, it obviously sounds pretty spooky and extreme. What was their reaction to that?
They didn't really know how to deal with it, which I don't blame them.
Sure.
Right? I mean, in fact, for that reason, I have people that bring their kids to me to work with just because how do you communicate with a child when you can't see those things?
Sure.
They never really put me down for it. They usually just told me it was my imagination or I thought I saw it or they maybe reminded me of somebody that was in a movie that I saw that turned into those things. It's like, well, you don't really watch those movies with your kids anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So they always just tried to, you know, more just calm me down and try to figure out what I was really seeing and quote, really seeing. But to me, that's what I was really seeing.
Yeah.
So there, I mean, even up until, my gosh, probably about 7 years ago, I was away in Kentucky, and at the time I was living at my parents' house, and my little niece had been at my house. They were using the pool and stuff, and I had a whole bunch of kids' books and stuff for when they would come over to play with. And so my niece wanted to go play with the things, and my mom told her that she could go get the stuff, and she didn't come back out. My mom goes down the hallway, sees her standing at my bedroom door, not going in, and my little niece says to her, that, you know, don't you hear the cat growling and hissing under the bed? And my mom's like, no. And she explained this cat to my mom, and my mom walked her in the bedroom. And she drew, I had this little chalkboard that they used to play with, and she drew the same cat that I used to see when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And it was a cat that used to, I say cat, it was more like a man swamp creature cat. It had like man hands, hairy knuckles, these big yellow eyes, like scraggly looking face. Kind of grimy looking, used to scare the living crap out of me.
So it was like a character from Cats the Musical that was hanging out there.
Only a lot darker and like mean. Like when yeah. I was a kid, I'd actually wake up with scratches on me. Not like deep gouges, but I would wake up with scratches or scabs on my head and things like that.
So one of the understudies.
I used to... What?
One of the understudies.
Right. The alley version, right?
Exactly. It's a traveling version of Cats version. That you got. Yes. It turned out it really right. was. There was a trailer of cat actors and actresses that went off the bridge one day, and you got one of the cats.
Right. Exactly. With mange and everything else, right?
Exactly.
But so this cat, like, it used to, like, I vividly remember it locking in my room, and my entire childhood at bedtime, or if I had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, was like consumed with the fact that if my feet touched the floor so close to the bed that this thing was going to pull me into some sort of underworld and I was never going to see my parents again. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it usually became a joke, especially when I got to be like, you know, 9, 10, a teenager, those things. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have issues with this thing. So nobody really believed me until my little niece, who knew nothing about this, draws this cat and tells my mom the exact same thing I was telling her for almost my whole life. So I did in turn learn that it was actually, I could never get rid of this. So even when I got good at doing clearings and all these things, this darn cat thing that traumatized me as a child wouldn't go away. And that's how I learned the hard way, which I'm really good at learning things the hard way, that he was actually one of my protectors and would warn me of darker people or darker situations coming my way, things going wrong. I now actually use it when I go to paranormal places. If I have, a client coming in with really dark entity attachments, things like that, they can usually sense it around. Some even see them. So it's actually become like a warning for me of things to be careful with danger-wise.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel
normal childhood?
Exactly. Yes, it's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and then the demon cat, or it's always a protective cat. It turns out to be, but sounded scary at first. Right. Do you feel, looking back, kind of retrospectively, that a lot of the things that were standing out to you that you were surrounded by as a child were kind of on the darker end of things?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was a lot of people. I mean, we all have really shitty experiences. Oh, sorry.
You can swear. Don't worry. No, you can swear all you want. Don't worry.
Okay. Crappy experiences with people. I used to have really interesting, like, just you can't even make this stuff up kind of experiences with people about, like, just bad things that would happen, you know? But it was just my normal. I was like, so everybody gets treated like this by people. So it was just, you know, I remember as a kid, there would be times we'd go places and, like, an adult would just come put their hand on my shoulder, nothing, like, inappropriate, whatever. And it's like, I would be sick for weeks sometimes. Like, I'd end up with strep throat. I'd have ear infections. I'd have all these things. And until I got older and started understanding what I'm naturally supposed to be doing and how to do it, I didn't understand they were basically energy vampires. They were sucking the energy out of me because they could see something that none of us really knew what was there.
Interesting. So someone like that, where that would happen, if somebody comes up, you know, you're at, you know, IHOP and, you know, somebody, maybe it's like one of your parents' old friends that they haven't seen, were like, hey, put the hand on, is this your little girl? You know, the kind of those creepy people.
Right.
And and you're just like, I don't know who the hell this is. Don't touch me. But you're being a polite child, so you don't like slap their hand away or stab it with a knife.
Right.
And it's that sort of thing. It is when something like that would happen, is that, you know, were they conscious of that you had these abilities, that they were kind of sucking your energy? Or is it just, were they just, you know, there's something else to that person. They weren't doing anything, you know, to you, but people like that, is there something attached to them? Is it their deeds, their actions that they've done with other people that, that creates that sort of energy?
Yes to all of that.
Okay.
I mean, some people consciously know that they are doing it, right? They see, like, I mean, it would be strangers that would come up and be like, oh, you can tell she's Native, which I mean, you can tell somewhat, but I'm pretty fair skinned and I never know what color my hair is. It's usually all different colors. So I don't really have any trademarks of really any nationality, honestly.
It's always fun when people go up to go, you must be Native. It's like,
right.
I'm buying Doritos. Just, like, what?
Right. And they'd be like, well, I do this, or, you know, has anybody ever talked to you about spirit stuff? Like, they just had these conversations with me, like, I should know what they were talking about, which sometimes I did, but other times it was just like, stranger danger. Why are you talking to me? And those were a lot of the people that I would realize, you know, or my parents would have these weird experiences with people when they were with me. Like, why do people just walk up? Like, we'd be in the store and, like, random people would just start talking to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my mom still laughs about it now, because she's like, it always takes you so long to go shopping. And then she'll go somewhere with me. She's like, people literally just gravitate towards you for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know, I don't know what it is. They just do. So, but some of those things, until you learn how to control energy, whether it's, you know, for supernatural things or just normal humans, can be absolutely draining. And some people consciously do it. I've met people in the healing community, the paranormal community, that deliberately will, you know, take people's energy and use it for their own, or to, you know, try to gain abilities. But other people just do it subconsciously. They don't realize there's something else in them. It's maybe part of their lesson. It could be an attachment to them. There's so many, it really just depends on per person and per situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's around us every day, really.
Now, when you have these interactions with the people, was it when people are drawn to you in the grocery store and they come up and start talking to you, is the conversation usually about something that would be spiritual or paranormal, or is it just, hey, have you tried that new flavor of Pepsi, the salmon one? It's really good. Or how do they do this?
Some of both.
Okay.
I mean, I've literally had people follow me around stores talking to me the whole time I'm shopping, which is really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I vividly remember there was a guy walking with me in a Walmart the one time, and I don't even know where he came from. All of a sudden, he was just, like, behind me in the aisle talking to me. And I finally wandered my way to the tampon aisle and said, if you're going to follow me, can you carry some stuff for me? And handed him those, because I was just like, I don't know how to get rid of this guy. And I could just feel, like, you know, he just felt really yucky to me. And not just because he was a creep following me around the store. It was like he was up to something else. He was trying to figure out you know,
yeah.
This was actually after I got really good at energy protection and blocking people and you know, not letting them able to read me if I don't want them to, kind of a thing. And I'm just like, okay, he's like fishing for more than just like, I'm going to stalk this girl around a Walmart to be a creep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of my way of like, here, I'm going to be weird back and you can carry these tampons for me that I don't really need. I just want you to go away. and then there's other people that will come up and just have these really in-depth, like, mm-hmm. oh, do you know you're such an old soul? And now how about this? And what do you think about this planet? And
yeah.
have you experienced this? And it's so you never really know. I mean, my life never gets boring. I can tell you that much.
I've used the tampon trick so many times. It's amazing. It really makes people go away.
Right. The other one that works really well is if you tell people you have to poop, nobody argues. They just let you go. So just, you know, little life tips there for anybody that needs them.
Exactly.
And if you have to poop, nobody argues.
The more you know. let's talk about Phyllis a little bit, because obviously she seems like she really was the first one that knew this about you, that could tell this when you were in your mom. And then she was there for the first 3 years or so of your life. When were you aware that Phyllis had died when she died?
Well, I knew that she was dying before she died, but it also didn't really mean anything to me as a kid.
Sure.
I don't know really how to explain that. It's just people were never gone from me,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they would die, but to me it was like, yeah, I'm still talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still joke about that with people now. Like, I'm probably, if I'm with you and something happens, don't look at me and think, oh, I talked to her, it's okay, because I'm going to be talking to you whether you're living or dead. It's not really a good sign to be talking to me if an accident happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I really just kind of knew about it already, but it didn't seem like I was already kind of prepared for it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a lot of my childhood. Like, I vividly remember one of my parents' friends passing away, and I woke up in the middle of the night, went and woke my parents up and said, you know, so-and-so's heart exploded. He's dead now. And my parents were like, oh, okay. Well, that was an interesting dream. Just go back to bed. I'm like, no, he's dead now. But it was like just so matter of fact to me that it's just like, this is what happened. And I don't really think a 4 or 5 year old knows about people's hearts exploding. And you know, and sure enough, really early in the morning, they had gotten a phone call saying that that's how he died. So that was definitely one of the things that kind of creeped my parents out to some extent.
Yeah.
My dad didn't call me the creepy child because I was always seeing things in the house and things would move. Like, I mean, in all reality, when I was a child, my house probably would have been considered a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was normal. Like, stuff moves. You get stuff. And nothing about it was ever vicious. It was more, and the more I learned about it, when I started opening that channel up, and this was like later in my 20s, when I started being like, okay, there's more to this. I really need to accept what I'm supposed to be doing. And that was getting thrown in my face by people. And I went for massage, and that lady wouldn't give me a massage. So I started doing healing work, and I was just like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
My own personal medical stuff got out of control, hence the how empathic abilities can kind of affect you physically in your physical human body, besides spiritually and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So just a lot of interesting experiences, but, you know, I'd get stuff thrown at me, and I found out it was my grandfather trying to get my attention. I knew him. I could see him. I didn't actually know who's my grandfather. I told everybody about this guy that would go to the hospitals with me, the guy that was around all the time. He sounded like my dad. He walked like my dad. And nobody ever was like, hey, that's your grandfather who died 7 years before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day I saw a picture of him at my grandma's house. I'm like, hey, that's the guy that's in our house all the time walking around and hanging out. And, you know, oh, the weird kid's right about something. So,
I mean, that's a lot that a lot of information. And I mean, I'm assuming your parents, I mean, obviously they had the experience that you just talked about where so-and-so's heart exploded. And then you said, you know, kind of poltergeist activity. I mean, assuming your parents experienced some of the poltergeist activity as well in the house.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So how are they processing all this being a, you know, a primarily Catholic family? Are they like, what can we do? Like, do we need to get an exorcist in here? Are they thinking like
shit happens? It's weird. Okay. Maybe we're just imagining it. Maybe that huge box really wasn't there. Maybe it did just disappear or something. Like, it was just always just kind of
written off,
you know, acknowledging weird things are happening, but nobody was getting hurt. Right. So it's just kind of like, all right, yeah, that's kind of weird. Or I don't know how that got over here, but it is. Or I know I just set this right here and it's gone right now. Like, just weird things, but since nobody was getting hurt, we always just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I got older, it became more and more clear what was going on. And, you know, now I work with it, but I didn't know. And that was a tricky part of things is people started telling me, you have to learn this on your own. You're very different. You have to do this your own way. You have to do this, you know, you have to do this self-guided, basically. So I started taking classes, and every time I would take classes, something horrible would go wrong in my life. It was ridiculous. Like, it was like I was being punished for trying to learn what these people meant by, you're meant to heal people. You're mm-hmm. meant to do these house clearings. You're meant to deal with all these dark things that other people can't see, don't know what to do with, or that get mad when you throw holy water at them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds like a lot. I mean, I thought I was going to, well, I did go to college for art. That was the path I was going on, you know? So, but the universe had other plans for me.
Do you think something was trying to prevent you from using your abilities for good?
In a sense, yes. Because I definitely developed a lot of severe medical... I mean, I used to be actually on bed rest and couldn't move, was having to get fed for a while and, you know, those kind of things. So my body got completely run down just from over these years of being empathic. And there's still times when I do clearings, like really heavy duty clearings, I tend to be kind of the person that when other things aren't working, people come to me as a last resort. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's things more medical based, but sometimes it's tied to like paranormal, like, look, we've had this done. We've had the house blessed. We've had this clearing done. We've had this, you know, I've had a couple people that have had these massive exorcisms done at places or for person in the family and, you know, what's going on. And I realized, you know, there really is something trying to stop me from getting rid of those bad things. Mm-hmm. A couple of the classes that I went to, some of the people that were teaching them, it was very, very clear that they were just there to absorb things from other people. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious. Like I said, I learned things the hard way a lot because I am curious. So, you know, I'm honestly very skeptic of things, even though I do paranormal investigations. I'm an energy healer, you know, all the whole nine yards of us usual spiritual type people. I'm also very skeptical until things happen to me and affect me directly. So that's one of my own flaws there is that, well, if I didn't see it, experience it, I don't know if I believe it until there's enough evidence.
Sure.
But I've had some pretty big experiences going to like healing workshops to learn how to do different methods of healing. And, you know, like I had a guy that actually stripped my ethereal DNA and put some major attachments on me. And I personally had to get help for that because I had no control over anything ethereal and spiritual with me because of what that guy did to my DNA.
Explain that to me.
So big lesson. He was super desperate to do a healing on me. There's 20 people in this class. And he's like, I just want to use you as a guinea pig. I just want to use you. You be my example. I want to show everybody how this works on you. And I was like, like when I first walked into that building, I saw this guy's eyes go like really black and almost like shark eyes. And then like he turned around and walked away. And I was like, I really don't think I belong here. But I had a friend in from out of state and it was her choice to go there. And that's what we were doing for the night. So I sucked it up. But he had me stand in the middle of this room and started doing, at first it seemed like, okay, this is normal, like energy work. And then I started getting these really sharp prickle feelings going up my spine. And a lot of times, so at least when I do healing work, and I know a lot of people see like ethereal DNA almost coming off of like your left shoulder, like the, almost like a DNA helix, coming off to show your different aspects of DNA. And I felt a super sharp pain in my neck, almost like somebody's getting ready to snap my neck. And it wasn't really like a choking feeling. It just literally felt like the bones were getting twisted and were going to snap at any minute. Oh. And I heard this really loud pop and just felt the whole side of my body almost feel like it just disappeared. It didn't go numb. It didn't, like, it just felt like basically the whole left side of my head, my left shoulder, like pretty much from my waist up was just gone. And then I had just some really weird, like I had ringing in my ears, just really weird things. I started feeling bubbles, like almost like one of those like mercury thermometer types, you know, with the little mercury bubbles in it. Like I could feel these really slow bubbles going all the way up my spine, up to my head. And I just knew things weren't okay. Mm-hmm. I just felt like if I didn't get help soon, things were never going to be the same for me from whatever that guy did. I had ended up somewhere else with that guy. He had shown up to some sort of, it might have been a fair or a holistic event or something. And he actually came to me for a reading and then got really mad at me for reading the thing. It was just a really weird situation. So, but I learned a lot from that. That's for sure.
When you were having those feelings of like the bubbles, as you described, and then the numbness, but the, I guess the lack of feeling,
Right. It was like a whole part of my personality just, or my person just disappeared, you know, like a whole, literally that whole section of myself seemed like it was gone.
Is there something physical going on with you when you're feeling that? Like, is there something literally you could examine this, like with an x-ray or something and go, there's something happening here? Or is that more of a spiritual type thing that's happening that's giving you those sensations?
Definitely more of an energetic spiritual thing in that case. I have done things where, or had experiences where something physical that you could actually examine has happened, which was actually kind of neat. Neat and not. I mean, okay. Again, hard lesson.
Tell me about that.
What was that?
Tell me about that.
So I was staying overnight at a location up here in New York. We were staying overnight and I was investigating in a room by myself. And I actually had an issue happen with, an entity that was there basically reached through my chest, but also I got a similar bubbling feeling going up and it really messed up my neurotransmitters. And so you could see, let's see, how do I want to, so I did have an effect with it because it almost basically created an instant migraine, which a lot of us get with paranormal investigation, right? It can happen when there's heavy energies around. If you're not protected, those kind of things, you'll get headaches or have, you know, adrenal issues, emotional issues, feel really tired, drained, those kind of things.
Sure.
But I coincidentally had a x-ray coming up for another medical thing that following week. And the area where I felt this basically like hand or claw come through my middle of my back, they saw a artifact, an unexplainable artifact. So I did have to get re-imaged a week, you know, after they got the results and went through this because they couldn't figure out what it was tied to. And it was not there in the preceding imaging.
That's got to be a weird thing to say. We found an artifact in the x-ray.
Right.
I can't say that. Yeah,
they're like, have you had any surgeries? Have you had any? I'm like, nope, none of this stuff. They're like, do you have any sort of medical implants? Like, I'm like, nope. They're like, well, this is like, you have other scar tissue, but this looks very different. And all we can claim it is an artifact. And we're going to do re-imaging just in case something, you know, is there or not. We need to know. And so nothing was there for the following set of imaging. But it was exactly in the spot where I had that experience, which, you know, and then triggered a whole neurotransmitter reaction and all that. So, I mean, kind of neat, but also, you know, slightly creepy that, you know, you can see it physically.
Sure.
It'd be kind of neat if we could all afford to have those when we go to paranormal locations, right? And be like, ooh, what just happened inside of you?
Yeah, have a an x-ray standing by. It's like, let's see. Right. I'm sure that's coming out on
step
the...
in. Right.
That'll be on the next. That'll be on the next iPhone model, an app for that. Yeah. Why do you think that you are the last resort for many? Almost having a stronger power than an exorcist, as you kind of explained earlier.
I don't know. I think so. I have a hard time talking about that part. I guess I've been told it's fear of ego, which I think is kind of true, actually. I feel weird talking about myself. I really don't have a good answer for that. It just seems to be the way things have happened. Even people with extreme medical, because of the medical things I've gone through, I have a lot of people that find me on a physical level for, you know, weird cancers and genetic issues and unexplainable medical things that they've had years of testing for and don't get answers because I lived that. So it's almost like I spent this whole life living all these extreme medical issues and honestly, like, suffering and torture through medical treatments. And now I just have this way of helping people. And I honestly kind of stay under a rock. I don't know a lot of famous people. I don't get involved with these big, huge things. I kind of, you know, people find me when they need me is kind of how I feel about it. And it's usually the people that are giving up and just don't know where else to go and, you know, or need a mess cleaned up, so to speak, that end up finding me. I honestly don't have a good answer. It's just kind of how, you know, I guess maybe the contract or agreement that I have for this life is that I'm just here to kind of pick up the messes and fix things for people. I don't know.
Sure. It just kind of is what it is. It's like, this is, seems to be how things work out and you're not seeking it out.
I mean, absolutely nothing against Reiki or different forms of Reiki or things, you know, types of energy healing. I don't know how to explain what I do and why it's different. I know I work through realms and dimensions. I know I work with aliens and through other planets and different galaxies. I know I work through all these things. I work with a lot of vibrations and frequencies, and it's just always been that way for me. I've always been super sensitive, even electronics, I get super sensitive to them. Where there's actually times I've just flipped the main breaker in my house because I'm just done for the day. I don't care what happens. I just need a break from this buzzing and vibrating feeling in my body from being your outlets and light switches.
Yeah, you're feeling
Right. Yeah. And that's the difference. It's like not like I'm just sensing it. It's like I'm feeling it through my whole body and it just gets overwhelming sometimes. So it just kind of seemed, just the reason I was put here, really, I guess, is to do those things where other people, I don't want this to sound like almost like a textbook version of, if you go to the doctor with a sinus infection, they have a textbook thing of how they're going to treat your sinus infection with an antibiotic or a Z-Pak or whatever. And I've seen that a lot of energy healing things can be that way as far as, you have this going on or you have emotional or we only stick to this or we do this specific thing for these things. And I tend to look through all at once with people, not various sessions, is there a soul retrieval thing needed? Is there something tied to a past life? Is there something tied to another dimension? Is there a portal that you're attached to? Just different things that people don't always necessarily look into with other types of energy healing. And it's just kind of how things have worked out for me.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Kayla. In part two, how often can ailments that people suffer from actually be tied to a spiritual problem? What does it mean to be a universal light worker? What have been some of the darker spirits that Kayla was able to help rid a soul of? Can a person be born with a dark or evil soul? And if a person has a negative entity attached to them, does it always take a healer to help move it away, or can that be done by oneself? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.